When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Pod Save the Queen!
Hello and welcome to Pod Save the Queen. I'm your host Zoe Forsey, and we've got lots of fun things to talk about this week, including Royal Days out at Wimbledon, a fun outing for the Queen recognising our NHS heroes, and kind of a royal wedding. Joined as always by Russell Myers, our Royal Editor. How are you, Russ?
I'm very well. I hope you're not sweltering in the heat of this heat wave that is plaguing the nation. Although it's quite nice, actually. We should stop moaning about it.
It is very nice, but it is also a little bit uncomfortable. I think I'm on probably about 2 hours sleep for the last three nights. and before all our American listeners roll their eyes at us and do the say,
of course,
that we can't cope with the heat.
It's about 70 degrees Fahrenheit, and then everyone goes crazy. So, you know, imagine living in Arizona or somewhere.
But I do still have the argument of the UK doesn't have air conditioning anywhere. And this is why I think we're allowed to complain about it a little bit. It's not like most homes in America where you can go into your nice, cool bedroom in the evening. We're all kind of,
tossing and turning with a desk fan. That's about our life at the moment, isn't it? And but this only lasts for about 3 days of the year. So, you know, people will have to get used to it.
Make the most. And I've avoided sunburn so far this year, which is great. Are you pink yet, or are you still
pink,
all right?
Factor 50, you know, I'm factor 50 still, since I moved to the coast. You can't be too sure when the sun is going to come in, so I'm very careful these days. And I've turned 40, so when that happens, you're worried about how old you look anyway, I think. So
I'm still factor 50 all the time anyway, but I'm pale and ginger, which means that doesn't even help sometimes, so it's on all the time.
Well, but you look positively radiant today.
Thank you very much. Good save. Thank you. Right, so we've had lots of, again, we said last week it feels very summery and it feels very nice, which is lovely, and another week pretty much the same, isn't it? And we saw the Queen and Charles were out yesterday. They were giving out some awards to our incredible NHS heroes, weren't they?
Well, they were, and this is the George Cross, which is such a prestigious award. I mean, it goes back right to instituted by the Queen's father, George VI, in September 1940, at the height of the Blitz, that he was he produced this medal sort of in recognition of acts of heroism or people who had displayed great courage in circumstances of extreme danger, and had normally recognised sort of the actions of military personnel, but then also civilians, not in the face of an enemy, I suppose. But then the announcement came sort of last year that it was going to be produced to the NHS as a whole body. And I think it's only the third time that this has ever happened. And in order for that to happen, they had representatives from frontline workers from all the home nations, England, Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland. And they included a lady called May Parsons, who was the nurse who delivered the world's first COVID-19 vaccine outside the clinical trials, and that was to a lady called Maggie Keenan, delivered on December the 8th, 2020. I mean, it seems like an absolute lifetime ago, doesn't it? But I think that what was really important was for the Queen to recognise not only the incredible work of the NHS over the 7 decades of her reign, but also, as she put it, the amazing COVID-19 vaccine rollout. And she wanted to sort of put on record, I think, as part of the Platinum Jubilee year, especially. I think it really recognises the fact that the nation is super grateful to the NHS. The National Health Service is the envy of the world, especially in countries with poor health systems or paid for health systems. I mean, it's often a massive talking point in American politics, isn't it? That reverberates around back to the UK as well. And I'll just read you sort of a little bit about last July, which was the 73rd anniversary of the NHS's foundation, the Queen wrote a message to the whole of the NHS, and this goes to everyone from the cleaners, the porters, the surgeons, the NHS frontline workers in the emergency rooms, everybody who helped keep the country on track. And the Queen said, "It is with great pleasure on behalf of a grateful nation that I award the George Cross to the National Health Service of the United Kingdom. This award recognises all the NHS staff, past and present, across all disciplines and all four nations over more than seven decades, and especially in recent times. You have supported the people of our country with courage, compassion and dedication, demonstrating the highest standards of public service. You have our enduring thanks and heartfelt appreciation." And I couldn't have put it better myself. Actually, I didn't realise that it was for past and present. So this encompasses, you know, all of the people who have worked in the NHS, and there must be many, many hundreds of thousands of people, and no better deserving group of individuals and collective people who have just kept our country going in these quite bizarre times of late.
Yeah, I was the same. I thought it was just people who had worked during the pandemic. But I think what the last few years has done has made people really aware of what doctors, nurses, paramedics, everyone, you know, all these different bodies kind of within the organisation do. And so it was really nice to see them all recognised. And we had some lovely official photos, weren't there? We had kind of the Queen and Charles with all the different representatives around, which was lovely. And it just looked like a really nice day. And,
yes. It didn't last too long. I mean, I was quite impressed that the Queen was able to stand. She looked very radiant. She looked happy. It was only, I mean, literally a sort of 5-minute ceremony before the cameras got kicked out. But the Queen was standing without her trusty walking stick that we've seen her using on with sort of increased frequency of late. But, you know, Prince Charles sort of standing in the background, supporting his mother, supporting the role of the monarch. I think we're seeing that an awful lot more, aren't we? And I think that the Queen is sort of really focused on doing maybe the bigger jobs. There was definitely, I think we spoke last week about the changing aspect of the Queen's role that had been put in the sovereign grant for the first time ever. And I can't quote verbatim from the report, but it was almost saying that there was really no jobs that the monarch had to do. There was obviously, she would do the meeting and greeting of world leaders, but there was no necessity to do the big businesses of state, I suppose, anymore. And that, you would imagine, will pass over to Charles and Charles and William. Obviously, we saw at the state opening of Parliament. And I do think it is a bit of a changing of the guard, but nice to see the Queen out and about and looking fine and healthy before her summer holidays, where she will be off very soon, no doubt.
And so the Queen did the kind of NHS side of it, but there were also lots of, obviously, all investitures are really exciting and really interesting, but there were lots of big names that we saw, and it was Charles that headed those up, wasn't he? And who were handed over the titles. So who did we have? We had the diver Tom Daley, who got his. It was for lots of reasons, actually, wasn't it?
Yeah, his list was really. I mean, it's not only for his sporting prowess. Obviously, he's an Olympic gold medalist now, a bronze medalist back in 2012? I mean, he's been at the top of his game for so long. But really, for his charity work, for his activism, for the LGBTQ+ community. So he is. I mean, he's a really, really incredible individual. And I mean, what a CV! Incredible.
And there was also Martin Lewis, who is very well known in the UK. He's basically he's a money saving expert, is his kind of, you know,
his tagline.
And he basically has done so much work. What he does is he tells people in Britain how to save money. He's got a website, but he's now become a real kind of talking head on issues of how people can save money, and especially with the cost of living crisis that the UK is currently facing. He's become a real source of support and has saved lots of people who are really struggling to pay bills and to buy food, much needed cash at the moment. So it was really nice to see him recognised as well. And we also we spoke about Wimbledon last week, but Kate was back at Wimbledon for the kind of second, you know, the end part of the tournament, the exciting part. Well, it's all exciting, but the very exciting part. So she was solo at the women's final on Saturday. She was in a bright yellow custom-made dress by, I'm going to say this wrong, Roxander. Which is one of the ones she actually wore for the Caribbean tour earlier this year, which Scott and I spoke about quite a lot because it got quite a small showing. She sort of wore it for an airport arrival, but we didn't get to see a
film. Yes, I remember
nice
that.
Yeah, yes. It was nice for it to get like a proper, the showing it deserves, because it's a beautiful dress. So it's got kind of a wrap top and it's a custom made one, but there's a similar version on the website, which doesn't have sleeves, which is guess the price tag on this, Russ.
£1 million.
Yes, spot on. Well done. You nailed it.
I don't know. So, I mean, how much is it? 500 quid?
£1,000 and £1,095. So not a bargain one. So even more glad that she wore it out again, because that's one that definitely
recycled. You got to recycle.
I'm just going to say this, and I know you're going to mock me for it for saying that she recycles it. But I said last week she's recycling stuff a lot closer together. She's not normally, she rewears something from 4 years ago, but to wear something twice within a few months, I think is really interesting, and I think is showing her, you know, they're making more of an effort to rewear stuff.
Well, we're all feeling the pinch. There's a cost of living crisis. And if you can't wear an £1,100 dress twice, I mean, gosh.
Exactly. And so she had some other celeb pals in the royal box with her. So there was Tom Cruise, who we seem to be seeing an awful lot of Tom Cruise.
Do you know what? There was more celebrities than actually normal people. It was absolutely extraordinary. I know that the All England Club like to get a bit of glam, and that's fine, but it was just incredible. There was Ellie Goulding, Tom Cruise. I saw the chap who plays Spider-Man. What's his name?
Yeah, Tom Holland.
Maybe him. Yeah. I mean, there was lots of people.
Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Dan. See,
Tom Holland was Spider-Man as well, though, wasn't he?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I mean, I think I saw him as well. I mean, you would imagine he's pretty A-list. He's pretty A-list.
If not, I'm sure he got an invite, even if he couldn't make it. Let's go with that. Yeah. But yeah, that was a great game. And obviously she presented the trophy as well, which is really good. But the kind of main day that got everyone excited was the Sunday, because, of course, she went along with Prince William, and Prince George made his Wimbledon debut as well, which was really nice.
I know, poor chap. I was discussing during the week, because obviously the Royal Box has a dress code and you have to wear a tie and a very smart suit. But it was pretty hot on Sunday. Both the days were lovely, but Sunday was pretty hot, and he was probably hot under the collar, poor chap. But he seemed to be having a good time. I like the fact that people were asking Kate about where were the other kids, and she was saying, "You know, this was George's treat, because he's the one who plays tennis. Apparently, he's been playing tennis since he was 5, and he's 8 now. So he's probably." I mean, if you can't be good at tennis and your mum is the patron of the LTA, I mean, you're probably going to be struggling a little bit. But he seemed to have a jolly good time. It was a good match. Djokovic beat Nick Kyrgios from Australia, who is, I mean, he was his usual combative self, I think, is putting it mildly. But I liked the touch of when they met Novak in sort of the players' lounge after the match, and he let George hold the trophy, and you could see Kate very nervously sort of hanging next to him, putting her arm around the trophy almost, because it's obviously the lid, you would imagine, comes off.
Yeah,
so she
her
didn't
arm
want
went
him
straight
to
up,
it.
Didn't she? Of like, oh god, yeah. The lid comes off, and I think it started off as, do you want to touch it? And which I imagine Kate and Will's like, okay, that's fine. And then all of a sudden he was being, and it, you know. It's a big trophy, but when you see a child hold it, I was like, it's half the size of him. And I think Will said, don't drop it, which I really enjoyed, which was cute. And also Kate said that Louis now started playing tennis as well, which is cute. So we're going to have all of them. Oh, they could be. Yeah, we could have a four. We could have like a Williams sister set up in the future.
Oh, could you imagine? Yeah. Well, I think Williams already said he wanted him to play up front for Aston Villa. And do the royal gig. So you know, he's got to take a toss up between football and tennis. But
very, very busy diary.
Pretty much. But no, lovely, nice to see. Always love Wimbledon. I think, again, we're seeing the kids come out a bit more. I mean, they sort of had a big, quite front and centre role, didn't they, at the Platinum Jubilee. Is this a thing to come? It's interesting, because people I've spoken to at the Palace said, listen, don't expect the kids to be doing more. I mean, we might see them pop up. I think it will be at big family events, Christmas time. We might see them at a show or something like that. But I don't think we're going to see them doing sort of regular engagements. But interesting how they are being more introduced. And I've often thought this about what on earth goes through those children's minds when they're standing on the balcony and there's like a million people in front of them and a fly past and, you know, their great granny is the queen. How on earth do we explain it to them? Because, you know, young kids have a... It is difficult to sort of understand what people do for a living and how society works, I suppose. But then when you're looking out to that sea of people at the Platinum Jubilee, it must have been absolutely extraordinary. But they seem pretty well-rounded children from the outset, and people who know them and know the family say they are, all for all intents and purposes, almost in inverted commas, but live a pretty normal life. And I think that that's a testament to how William and Kate have made efforts to, you know, drop them off at school, to be there for pickup, not do massive foreign tours. I mean, I think if they went to Australia, they'd have to take the children because they wouldn't want to be away for that amount of time. So, I think they're doing pretty well, the Cambridge kids.
Definitely,
I mean,
really, right.
I tell you what would have been interesting, just as a final note on that, is to see Louis at Wimbledon, because that's obviously why.
Especially
but maybe
in the heat, it would have just been like that.
maybe he'll get to go in a couple of years, but
in a few years' time, I'm sure it would be great. Do you want to know the Wimbledon fact that I found?
Please, always love a fact.
Out this week. So obviously, whenever Kate is there, she wears her little bow, which is the dark green and purple bow, and that's worn by all members of the committee of management during the tournament. Obviously, Kate's been a patron since 2016.
Yes.
And the dark green and purple colours were actually introduced in 1909. The club's previous colours were blue, yellow, red and green, but they decided they were too close to the Marines, so they had to have a bit of a rebrand.
Right. Oh, that's interesting. I love a fact. Thank you.
Little fact, nice. Which is good, which I really enjoyed. So look forward to hearing us reuse that next year, so if everyone could forget that in the meantime.
Yeah, that would be great.
So that was really fun. That was really lovely. Oh, there was actually a little moment I meant to mention, because obviously, as you said, George was in his full suit, as he tends to be, but when they arrived, because they got there separately, and Will said to him, you know, you're right, and George just went, I'm hot, which I think probably
was the same response
as everyone had, because there is always that hard thing with like formal occasions of when it's in suits, of because women are lucky that they can wear more summery dresses, but how do you feel about like a suit with shorts?
No, come on. I mean,
I'm sure
I haven't been into the office this week, but I bet there's a few characters wearing shorts in the office.
I haven't seen any shorts in the office yet.
I draw the line. I saw a man wearing a beanie in the office a few months ago. I couldn't believe it. It's like something out of the Beano, which is a satirical magazine about a naughty boy, if you don't know about the Beano in the UK. But I mean, I'm sure there's lots of people wearing shorts in office. No, you've got to. I'm not all for, you know, a total stickler for tradition. You can wear a linen shirt, how about that? But no bare legs for the men.
Okay. Now, we had, talking about that nice summery days out, we had it's not a royal wedding. It's a family wedding that the royals attended. Is that a fair way to describe it?
I think so, because you know what I'm like sometimes. I'm like, you know, they're not royal. I mean, we were going to mention Pippa Middleton, who has potentially had her baby. And some people, she hasn't formally announced it, but there were reports that she has had a baby. However, she's not royal. But your argument was that Kate is an auntie again. So
yeah,
so
it's that, got that a new, sort of, you know? Yeah,
so I, yeah, you won that argument. But you, is this,
I'm going to take note
royal,
of that. If all the
is this a
remember.
Royal wedding? Is this a royal wedding? You can be the judge.
Well, it took me a while to figure out quite who it was. I won't lie. I had to figure it out. So this is Princess Anne's ex-husband, Captain Mark Phillips, so that is Zara and Peter's dad, his daughter from his second marriage.
Well explained. But I mean, I was quite surprised. They were obviously quite a close family, because for Princess Anne to go and the rest of the family, I mean, you know, they're obviously quite a close unit, which is nice to see.
Yeah, and to go to your, you know, to go to your ex-husband's
Zara and Peter would be friends with their half sister. So that's, you know, But for their mum to go as well, I thought was a bit, oh, that's quite interesting.
Yeah.
That they're obviously, well, they got blended families.
Yeah. Which I think was really nice. So Stephanie Phillips married William Hosier at the St. Mary the Virgin Church in Tetbury, which is in Gloucestershire, on Saturday.
Which is beautiful, by the way. Absolutely. In Tetbury.
Oh, really?
Tetbury is stunning. And it was, again, well, we've had a lot of weather references, but it was beautiful sunshine. It looked absolutely glorious. If you haven't checked it out, there is a piece online that you can have a look at. And there are some very, very nice pictures.
The pictures are gorgeous, and we had all the young, you know, all the Tyndall kids were there, weren't they, in kind of their little bridesmaids' outfits. It looked like a really nice day, which was lovely. And Peter Phillips took his new girlfriend, Lindsay Wallace.
Yes.
Interesting to see her, and shows that she's obviously got, you know, already a really important part of the family, which is lovely to see.
Yeah, super. I mean, okay, I'll concede. We can talk about it. As a royal wedding, but
thank you. So that's two wins in this podcast, Pippa and this. Excellent. Right. Other big fun occasions this week. It is Camilla's 75th birthday.
75th on Sunday. I mean, it's exciting. It's a big one. I mean, I think we've been talking about this for weeks, it would seem, but fair enough. It's a big birthday, big milestone. We sort of touched upon last week that she had taken over the guest editorship of Country Life magazine, which I thought was... you know, the pictures were really, really nice that the Duchess of Cambridge has taken. There's an ITV documentary out tonight at 9 p.m. This is Wednesday.
Have you watched it yet? Have you watched it?
I have seen a lot of clips. I have seen a lot of clips. And it's a rather nice sort of amble through. It's a lot focused on the sort of guest editorship of Country Life and how she said that she wanted Catherine to do the pictures and how that went down and how it was very relaxed. And I mean, she's quite self-deprecating and quite fun, Camilla. And I think people have seen that over the last few years, that she doesn't take herself too seriously. And what else is there in it? It's padded out with a little bit of sort of her background, sort of her, the charity work that she does. And I think she comes across really well, to be honest. And there was an event yesterday. Now, many people wouldn't have heard of this magazine, but there's a magazine that goes back decades and decades. I think it actually stems back early 1900s. It's called The Oldie. And The Oldie magazine is, I think it's chaired, or certainly he's the CEO of it, Giles Brandwith, friend of the royals. He was a good friend of the Duke of Edinburgh, and he is he's a sort of broadcaster, altogether quite amusing chap, who does a lot of... a lot of broadcasting, a lot of stuff with the royals, writes royal books and so forth. Anyway, he was
always on the telly.
He's always on the telly. Known for these very loud, vivacious jumpers that he used to wear as well. So he
still
was
does.
He does.
Really quickly, before you go on, this magazine, is this the one that famously last year tried to make the Queen their like oldie of the year, and she said thanks but no thanks?
Absolutely. Oh, here we go. I'm wrong, actually. It was actually launched in 1992. I thought it went on for many, many decades. I'm sure it's got...
Only 100 years off, don't worry.
I'm sure it had a sort of a previous incumbent. Anyway, it's a top magazine, and it's for... What does it say? It says it's a magazine written for older people as a light-hearted alternative to a press obsessed with youth and celebrity, which is why they had... Camilla has gone for the last couple of years. They had the Duke of Edinburgh as sort of the oldie of the year one year, who he found it quite amusing. They want the Queen to be the oldie of the year. Well, I think you're right. It was last year, and she said she turned it down. She said, basically, you're only as old as you feel. And she definitely didn't feel that she was worthy of such a title. However, Camilla took it with good grace. And Camilla, I think, was poking fun at the sort of the woke brigade, woke culture, if you can call it that. So this lunch, which was organised for her, had guests of 120 national treasures, if you can call them that. There was lots of sort of actors and poets. The model Twiggy was there. She's 72. Actress Felicity Kendall, she's 75. Poet laureate Simon Armitage was there. Michael Mpongo, he's 78. And so you get the sort of the gist of it. Dame Joanna Lumley was obviously there as well, hosting the event. And she said, ladies and gentlemen, if I am allowed to call you that. And obviously there was a big sort of ripple of laughter throughout the room. And sort of very much, I know, sort of a bit sort of close to the bone, but maybe playing up to the crowd, I suppose. And she was saying, as well, paying tribute to the Duke of Edinburgh and saying how she's taken, I think she said this before, hasn't she, in documentaries, how she looked up to him and she wanted to emulate his sort of position in the, not position in the family, but the way that he went about his business. And she said, certainly yesterday, the Duke of Edinburgh's philosophy was clear, look up and look out, say less and do more and get on with the job. And that is just what I intend to do. And I think that's very interesting given the announcement by the Queen in February about her wanting her to be named Queen Consort when Charles takes the throne in the fullness of time, as she put it. And we are seeing sort of a greater introduction to her personality. I mean, we're a far cry from the years of her being public enemy number one. And she's certainly spoken about those terrible years, her treatment in large sections of the media, her perception of from the general public of what they how they perceived her to be and act, and obviously there was a relationship born out of adultery. But we've come a long way, and I think that people do respect her for the issues that she's tackled with literacy and domestic violence. And she speaks well. She's still quite nervous in the job. I find whenever I see her publicly speak. I was in Rwanda and she did one of the keynote speeches on domestic violence out there at the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting, and she definitely gets nervous, and I think that's quite endearing, really, that she's still been doing this job a long time, and yet she takes it very, very seriously. She knows her words will reverberate not around necessarily just the room that she's talking, but across the country and across the world, especially when she's making big speeches in at events like Chogham. So happy birthday.
Do we know anything of what we're gonna have from it? Like, do we know any details of what
I think she's having an Ibiza styled rave. I think
that's gonna be my first guess.
A three-day glamping extravaganza. I don't know. I imagine it'll be, well, as the palace normally say, it's spent quietly or privately with friends and family, which is quite sweet, I suppose.
And that'll again be another example of the kind of blended families within the family.
Yes, we'll have her. Right.
You know, her children from her first marriage, along with some of the royals as well, which will be lovely. But we will give you all the updates on that next week. Now, what do we have coming in the next few days? You've just added one to the list, which I'm really hoping we can speak about, which I didn't know was happening. I wasn't expecting. That wasn't like an outing, I can imagine.
Oh, yes. Well, so today, as in Wednesday, so you'll see some pictures on this later, or, you know, now, if you're listening to the podcast, it is not next week. It is actually happening as we speak. And Charles and Camilla are in West London because they are sort of relaunching the world famous Notting Hill Carnival. And if you're not familiar with the Notting Hill Carnival, it is incredible extravaganza, huge street party, parades, all sort of from the incredible mixed communities from West London, Afro-Caribbean, Jamaican, Caribbean communities all come together and put on sort of a festival of colour, of dance, amazing food, music. And it is returning for the first time since 2019. So there is going to be a lot of very fun pictures, I would say. So where they're going to probably start dripping in the next hour or two. So I'm looking forward to seeing them. So good that they're supporting the local community because it's right on their doorstep in London as well.
And that's obviously been the reason it's been relaunched. It's been cancelled.
Well, it's been COVID,
for the last few years, yeah. Because I remember last year they were trying to work out if they could do it or not, and it didn't quite go. But what else do we have actually next week then?
You know what? It's pretty quiet at the moment. I think the Cambridges have probably only got a couple. It's the summer holidays now for the kids, so they're going to be broken up. I think there's a couple of things coming up at the end of the month, maybe beginning of August, but we don't really know what they are yet. But it will start to slow down. I mean, fair play, Charles and Camilla. They're the ones who have been really hitting the ground. Well, they keep on running. So it's after their couple of tours this year. They're doing a lot more work than the others, that must be said. I did see something from the anti-monarchy group, Republic, during the week, and it was quite an interesting thread, actually, It didn't really get a lot of traction, but it was an interesting read. So if you haven't seen it, go back in, because I think it's always good to have some context about speaking about engagement and what engagements mean and how much the sort of Cambridge is. Obviously, there's an air of them, because it's by Republic, there's probably an air of them accusing them of being lazy, for want of a better word. I don't think they necessarily use that word, but that's the gist of the article written. But there's a big thread on Twitter and their website. So let's see what the Cambridges get up to after the summer, because fair play, Charles and Camilla. They're in their 70s, they're in their mid-70s, and they are absolutely killing it.
Fantastic. Well, yeah, lots to look forward to. And I'm glad they're all enjoying some summer fun as well. Thank you so much for joining me today, Russell. And thank you to everyone for listening in. As always, we're on Twitter and Instagram @PodSave. And until next time.
Pod Save the Queen!